I would like to welcome everyone here, and just look forward to sharing this message with you. This is the second Sunday in a row that we're snowed out, so this is the second Saturday evening message. So we're flexing with the weather. Let me open this up in the word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I just thank you so much for your word. I thank you for your goodness. I thank you for your promised protection for your people, your promised direction for your people. And Lord, I thank you for what you reveal to us in the book of Romans. And that, Lord, you're going to strengthen us and use us in a powerful way. We thank you for that, dear God. Pray you to anoint me. I just speak words of the Spirit, and each person would receive of the Spirit. You do a powerful work within them. And Lord, we're just thankful for you. And we give all glory and honor to you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Well, I want you to turn to Romans chapter 5, and we're going to look at the first five verses. And you really need to turn to Romans chapter 5 because we're going to spend the whole time there, and it'd be good for you to follow along and see what the Lord is telling us. And we're going to try to take apart these verses here and see how the Lord is speaking to us. So to start off with, I'm going to just read through the first five verses, Romans 5, verses 1 through 5. I'm just going to read through that. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him, we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that our suffering produces endurance. And endurance produces character. And character produces hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. Now, as we look at these verses here, I want us to pay special attention to the word therefore. The very first word, therefore, it's important because what it means is that the two previous chapters apply to us carrying out these next five verses in Romans 5. So when the Lord says, therefore, he said, I've shown you in chapter 3, which, you know, I felt like that it's the most important chapter in the Bible. That may be stretching it a little bit. It's very important. Chapter 3, where God shows his salvation. And then chapter 4, he shows what faith is and how we're to live by faith. And so we have the salvation of God presented so clearly in 3, and the faith that we are to have presented in 4. And then he says, beginning chapter 5, therefore because of chapter 3, therefore because of chapter 4. Can't just start here and move on. It is here because of those two previous chapters in particular. And so we want to look at that, and we see that God is telling us something. And so what he is telling us here is, like, because what God has done in our salvation, chapter 3, because he's shown us how to live in faith and accept what God has done, he says, now, not only that, says, we are justified and have peace with God. Okay? Justified and have peace with God. Because what he said in chapter 3 and chapter 4. Then he goes on to say, not only that, we have access into the favor and power of God. Now that's what the word is, access. You're in that, you have access to all the things of God, to the favor of God and the power of God. And so therefore we have peace with God. It says in the Bible, therefore we can go boldly before the throne of God. No hesitancy whatsoever. So we, through faith in Jesus Christ, rejoice in the assurance of God's presence. Incredible place to be. Rejoice in the assurance of God's presence. Chapter 3, chapter 4, chapter 5 telling us where we are now. So let me read these first two verses again. Just follow that thought process. Again, the first words. Therefore, because of chapter 3 and chapter 4. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, just like we never sinned. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God. We're in tune with God because of chapter 3 and chapter 4. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through Him, we also have obtained access by faith into His grace in which we stand and we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. That's our position. I mean, that is really powerful. I mean, with this completed work of God and these words here in the first two verses of Romans chapter 5, we could just say, amen, it's done, and we'll just close the book. It's finished. We have it. However, in chapter 5, God tells us something else. Now we enter into a training day. The title to the message was Training Begins. Now we enter into a training day of our walk with God. So the training begins. And so He's going to tell us something else, because now we're in a position. Being full of faith, God now instructs us how He will train us to live out our faith with power. So you follow this. It just makes all the sense in the world. This is what God did. This is the faith we are to have. And we're justified by faith. We have peace with God, access to His glory, His presence. There it is. But He says, that's right. But now, as you grasp that, and as we grasp that, we're full of faith. What we have here, He's going, now I'm going to teach you how to live it out. We've got 11 more chapters in Romans. We have the good foundation, but now He's going to teach us. I'm going to teach you how to live it out. Now, it starts in verse 3. He tells us something. And verse 3 starts off, and He says that our training lesson starts with suffering. I'll just let you think on that a minute. Think on that. I have my son was involved in an evangelistic group, and they said, they had handouts, and they said, God has a wonderful plan for your life. And that was their big calling card. And my son would tell me, he says, yeah, he said, they better read the fine print. And I said, yeah, God has a wonderful plan for our life, but He doesn't let us just truck along in our sin and the way we are. No, He moves in and He trains us. And here we have in verse 3 is the first thing that God says. And He says, our training lesson starts with suffering. Now look at this. It says, we rejoice in our sufferings. Not only do we suffer, but we're going to rejoice in our sufferings. It's verse 3, Romans 5, verse 3. Now, what does this mean? It basically, just to summarize it, by the way, you can look around the world, you can look around the church, you can look around anybody. Everyone goes through sufferings. Everybody goes through difficult times. It misses no one. It misses no one. But what we have here is believers rejoice in their suffering, clinging to Jesus, continuing to show their love and loyalty to Him. Now, do you see the rejoicing in the sufferings? Oh, my. But we are able to look above the sufferings. And as we go through them, we proclaim, cling to Jesus, and we continue to love Him and show our loyalty to Him in the sufferings. That's a truth. And if Christians don't realize that, many Christians get very disillusioned and very discouraged because they don't see what's happening in them and around them. Look what the apostles did. What the apostles did. They went under great persecution almost immediately after Jesus was resurrected. And in Acts chapter 5, verse 41, Acts 5, 41, you can see them after they received these rebukes and persecutions because of their trust in Christ. And it says this, Then they left the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer dishonor for the name. Persecuted, they rejoice. Oh, that we suffered dishonor for the name, because they stood for Jesus. And that is the idea that's presented here in this idea of suffering. And it makes us back up and look at suffering in a different way. And it's hard, it's difficult, and there's, oh my gosh, as many difficulties as there are people. But we look above that, rejoicing and clinging to God that He is with us in those sufferings. He knows of those sufferings. And not only that, He's going to use those sufferings in our life. That's what the Word says. Now, it goes on. It goes on. Verse 3 continues by explaining the training of suffering. All right? Need to pay attention. The training of suffering. Number 2 here. Number 2. We know that suffering produces endurance. What comes out of suffering? Endurance. It says, we know. This is why we're rejoicing, because we know suffering produces endurance. Now, endurance here means patience under pressure. You know, we think, well, I have patience. No, patience doesn't work. It's patience under pressure. It'd be like more perseverance. Perseverance. So patience under pressure, or perseverance, endurance, same word. So it literally means remaining under. So going through suffering produces endurance. We remain under it. We don't run from it or anything. We remain under it and work through it with God's help. So it produces endurance. So suffering produces people, and listen to this, suffering produces people who don't quit. Let that sink in. Suffering produces people who don't quit. Not quitting is a Christian quality necessary to grow in faith and power. I remember thinking one time, well, what do you do to have faith? What do you do to stand in faith? What do you kind of a to-do, not just understanding it? And the verse, the Lord spoke to me how this verse and says, the one thing you do, we want something to do. He goes, you don't quit. You don't quit. See, and so what happens, and that comes through suffering. And you won't know it until there's suffering. And you have this endurance, you don't quit. It's an active attribute manifesting faith. It's not to quit. Not to quit. God produces people and trains people not to quit. Not to quit. How do you know if they're going to quit or not? Unless they go through something difficult. And this is before God. Now, you know, we can say, well, God knows, but we don't. The people around us don't. And He works it through so that we realize what He sees in us and who He wants us to be. And we live it out. We live it out. So we move on from that. Oh my gosh. Verse 4 continues and shows us the importance of endurance. Now you see how these things are just flowing like this. They're coming along one after the another, after the other. And God is explaining to us the importance. So here we have in number 3, it's still in verse 4, it says, we know endurance produces character. You see God's word, suffering, endurance, character. Endurance produces character. Now it's very interesting. The word character indicates a tested value. You know, some of you may be listening and thinking, oh my gosh, it's these details and things, and it sounds like an English course. Well, no, it's really important of what God's telling us so we understand what's happening to it. Because it's going to happen anyway. If we understand what's happening to us, then we can cooperate with God in that and grow through it. So we need to pay attention so we know what's going on around us. So the word rendered character indicates a tested value. The literal word means the process of proving. the process of proving. It's the experience. The experience, like character. It's the experience. You've gone through experience, and that's who you are. You've gone through these experiences. You come, and the experiences and how you come through them defines who you are. It's character. It defines your character, good or bad. There can be lack of character. So endurance produces a walk with God and growing trust in God. This is our experience with God. Thus, experience produces character or reveals character. And this is what God's doing. God is not, okay, just have at it, do anything you want. He's, no, I'm working with you. See, God's the one that's proactive here. God is the one that's moving here to get done what he wants and what he sees we need. It is God doing this. And so we need to pay close attention to that. See, it goes along very much, it goes along closely what it says in James. James says the same thing. And if you want to turn here, you can look at this. James chapter 1, verses 3 through 4. James chapter 1, verses 3 through 4. And you see the same thought. And you've got to think of your own life. You're going through something now. And if you're like me, the first thought you want, I want out of it. I'm done with it. And God said, no, no. This is your training ground of your dependence with me and trusting me. Don't quit. Because building character within you is you endure through this. So you can be my man, my woman in this world. There's a training ground. I'm not leaving you here. You came to know Jesus as your Savior, have a home in heaven. But no, now I'm going to work with you to be the man and woman I want you to be. There's a training ground. God is actively involved in our lives. But look what it says in James. Same thing. For you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. Okay, I already said you have it. But the testing of your faith, tested, proves produces steadfast. See, produces steadfastness. You don't quit. And let steadfastness have its full effect. You don't quit. Let steadfastness have its full effect that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. What is God doing with you? Making you perfect and complete, lacking nothing in his eyes. That's what he's doing. Oh, I'm just going to work. I'm just taking care of the family. And just, you know, nothing's happened in my life. Really? God is moving all the time in every situation in your life to manifest the character in your life that you stand for him. A powerful situation. So let endurance have its full of, see that flows in. Don't forget, this build on itself. Let endurance have its full effect, which produces character. Another way, endurance produces an experience. You know, how'd you get this experience? I endured. Thus, we are being made perfect and complete, lacking nothing. We endured. We had an experience. And God built character. He produced character. Because we kept our eyes on him and didn't quit. Powerful. Now, so we're going to move on. God's not done. But you can see this is what he's doing, how he's moving forward here. Verse 4 reveals our character, are our lived out experience. Yeah, our lived out experience. Verse 4 reveals our character, our lived out experience. And what it will reveal is a godly confidence. When God builds character, what will be produced in the people who have that character that God has built is a godly confidence. Not, oh, I can do anything, I'm great. No, it's a godly confidence. It's confidence in God. Security in God. Security in what God says. What it says, number 4 here, which verse 4 continues, we know character produces hope. Character produces hope. Now, here's an important thing we all need to look at when we read the Scripture. In the Scripture, almost every time, when you see the word hope, it's not like how we use hope. Like, oh my God, I hope I don't fail this test. Oh, I hope everything goes okay. Oh, I hope, you know, so-and-so can do. You know, it's like we don't know, but we hope so. No, that's not what this means. When you see hope, you need to write this down, and it really is helpful. Literally, hope is a favorable and confident expectation. So he said, I hope in God because I have a favorable and confident expectation in what God's going to do. It's not, I hope, I don't know. No, I hope, and my hope means I have a favorable and an expectation in what God's going to do. See the confidence? Oh, you're not confident in yourself, but we are confident in what God is doing. And that's what this is saying here. Character produces hope. The experience, our trust in God, now we're confident. And we have a favorable view of life, the world, and God. And we're confident in God. We have hope. We have hope. Important. Write that down someplace, because when you read the New Testament, you need to see. Because that's what that word means when you see it. See up there. This hope, remember, this hope, and again, the favorable and confident expectation is that God will do everything he said. That's our favorable expectation, that God will do everything he said. See, it's all connected to the Lord. And that's what he started teaching us back in suffering, that we're going to be fully trusting God. Oh, I haven't been through nothing. I haven't done anything. I don't know anything. I'm just going to trust God. No. No. I've seen too many people start out that way. No, it's through the suffering, endurance through it, building the character, and they develop a hope, a favorable expectation that God's going to do what he said. There's confidence. He's built it. He's built it into us. And that's why he's doing it for every one of us, by the way. Just look at your world. That's what he's doing. So this hope that began with suffering, and it says this basically in verse 5, but this hope that began with suffering never puts us to shame. You know, it's not going to work out. I'm going to be out here. I'm going to look like an idiot. And, oh, man, I don't know. I'm going to lose my job. No, this hope that began with suffering never puts us to shame. That's our confidence. How do we know that? Because God told us, and that's what God's going to do. See, do you see how the Lord's building faith here? He's teaching us how he's building faith. Well, I'm just going to build my faith and do that. No. He's going to build faith in us. And this is how he's going to do it. Suffering, endurance, character, hope. That's how it's going to happen. That's how the deep, deep work of God is going to go through each person. Like our son said, you better read the fine print. God has a wonderful plan for your life, but you better read the fine print. He's going to move into our lives, develop us, and use us for his purposes as he sees fit. As he sees fit. Now, we have this. Now, what's interesting, when I read this is just interesting to me how God presented. I find that often when I read the Bible. It's like God put something in a certain order, and he put it in a certain order for a reason. He didn't, oh, I just forgot this, I'll just throw it in there, you know. No, nothing in the Bible is like that. He put it there for a reason. And verse 5 is fascinating when we see why he put it in there. And what it basically says in verse 5, that what he does in verse 5, he brings this training to a climax in verse 5. And he's declaring in verse 5 that we are people loved by God. All this is proof is that we're people loved by God. That's what he's telling his people. Suffering, endurance, the character, the hope. I believe God to do what he said, because I know I'm loved by God. That's what it says. Now let me just read Romans 5:5. I just want to read it, and we're going to talk about it. And this is what we're going to wrap it up with. Very interesting, Romans 5:5. And remember, this is the culminating verse in this training. Hope. What's hope? Oh gosh, I don't know what's going to happen. No, hope. Hope, our faithful, favorable, and confident expectation. We have a favorable, confident expectation that God's going to do what he said. So this hope is what we're clinging on to God and believing God. Big word. This hope does not put us to shame. Oh man, I'm going to trust God. I'm clean. And it's not going to work out. And I'm going to look like an idiot. And I don't. No, no. He says, no, I'm not going to put you to shame. I'm not going to put you to shame. You walk with me through this. Let me grow through you. Like James says, make you perfect. Perfect. Complete. Lacking nothing. Just hang with me here. I will not put you to shame. See, very interesting. Hope does not put us to shame because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given us. Now just, what does that mean? What does that mean? God's love has been poured to our hearts. Not just poured, but through the Holy Spirit who has been given us. So, let's look at this. This is the first time in Romans that Paul mentions the love of God. First time, right here. And he's saying the fullness of God's love comes for us, through us, through the Holy Spirit. Now, that's powerful. We can't skip over that. The love of God through us, through the Holy Spirit. Now, in chapter 8, this whole thing is developed more fully about the Holy Spirit in chapter 8. And when we get to chapter 8, you know, I mean, I have to restrain myself to, let's just go to chapter 8. I mean, you know, and skip, you know, 6, 7, and just go to 8. It's like the rest of 5 and 6 and 7. No, he builds this up to chapter 8 for a reason. But he fully explains the ministry, more fully explains the ministry of the Holy Spirit in chapter 8. But right here, he tells us something really important, that through the Holy Spirit, again, it's important. Some people don't pay attention to the Holy Spirit. Or just, yeah, it's a kind of a side, you know, bar. They don't, you know, it doesn't mean that much. And no, the scripture talks about, it's a powerful work of God. It's through the Holy Spirit in his people. And now we see that the love of God, that we know how much God loves us, comes through the Holy Spirit. And you discount the Holy Spirit, you're not going to understand how much God loves us in a very real way. So, it's going to be explained more fully in chapter 8. But here, training day, our training day, okay, these verses here, we see that God's love is poured out into our hearts by the Holy Spirit. Oh, the love of God just... Okay, but no, Holy Spirit, you know, pours out the love in our hearts. What does that mean? Now remember, how did we get here? Suffering. Oh, God. Endurance. Character. Hope. You know, God will do what he says. I know. I'm not being ashamed. And then he says here, then he makes the comment here, that, and we're not put to shame because we know God's love has been poured in our hearts through the Holy Spirit. See, what we have here is this certification. This is, and put it this way, this is the certification that, again, that God's love is poured into our hearts by the Holy Spirit. This is the certification by the Holy Spirit that we are glorious in God's eyes and his love for us is poured out on us in abundance, unrestrained, with extravagant effusion. Now, just think about that. He closes this with showing us that the Holy Spirit comes and pours out God's love in us. Does that mean, well, okay, then we love God, this building. And the way He's pouring into our hearts that God loves us. How much? Poured out by the Holy Spirit. And again, certification by the Holy Spirit that we are glorious in God's eyes. His love for us is poured out on us in abundance, unrestrained, with extravagant effusion. Okay? His suffering, we rejoice. He poured out. Poured out. Extravagant love of God in the suffering. And the endurance poured out. It poured out the extravagance, abundance, love of God. Building character. So God is pouring out abundance, extravagant love in our heart. And we have hope because God is pouring out the extravagance, love, abundance in our hearts. He's pouring it into our hearts. He's pouring it into us that He loves us. Suffering, we know He loves us. In endurance, we know He loves us. Character, we know He loves us. In hope, we know He loves us. He loves us. We process that. That's the point. That's the point of verse 5. That's the whole point of verse 5 here. Now, if you look at this, this is, and when you put in context here, and just work with me through this, this is not an intellectual recognition or just a demonstration on the cross, but this is the inner certainty that God loves us. Now, what did I just say? I mean, we take a test, something like that. Does God love you? You know, yes. Here's the, He loves me. You know, got it. You know, He loves me. Intellectually, I know He loves me. You know, I go through this and I complain and everything. Yeah, He loves me. You know, it's stated here, He loves me. That's not what this is saying. Or Jesus died on the cross. Man, that was, boy, He said, that's something else. That was unbelievable. Wow, that He loved me. That is something, He'd do that to me. That is powerful. Kind of hang my hat on that. Intellectually understand this. It's not what it's saying. It's not what He's saying. What He's saying here is that we have inner infusion of God's love. I am loved by God. Every pore of my body, every sense in my body is that God loves me. He loves me. It's poured out in my heart. He loves me. It is a relational, not, I could say feeling, but it's a relational reality. It's not an intellectual reality. I mean, good to have intellectual, but this is not intellectual. This is a deep relational love that we feel in every pore of our body. How did God start this? Suffering. In the suffering, God loves me in every pore of my body. And that's revealed by the Holy Spirit. We receive the Holy Spirit. See, and that's what it's saying here. I mean, it's incredible that this love is conveyed to all our senses by the Holy Spirit. I mean, you just process that. I don't know how to put it in human form. Maybe it's with your wife. You just, and everything in me, I just love her. Oh, you know. Well, that's what this is. Except it's more. It's this on fire poured out through the Holy Spirit within it. It's like everything in our senses receives and believes that we're loved by God. We're loved by God. See, that's the relationship. Not the intellectual. I mean, the intellectual, yeah. But no, this is a, and it's like, well, okay, how do I get this love? Said the Holy Spirit did it. It's humanly impossible to work up this love. It's one, when we go through this training of suffering and endurance, character and hope, that God is transforming us, and as we walk with Him and keep focusing on Him and growing with Him, the Holy Spirit pours out, permeates our very being, that God loves us. Think about that. Permeates throughout our very being that God loves us. Oh, what can I do to work to love God? No. It says in 1 John, we love because he first loved us. That means filled every pore of our body, and we love. That's what this is saying. Oh my gosh, how do you get there? He told us. Now five, it is in five. This one says we're loved by God, and the Holy Spirit is poured out in our hearts and works to permeate every cell of our body. We love God. We know that now do we love God? We know that God loves us. We're walking. I know that God loves us. How do we get there? Well, chapter 3, chapter 4, you know, what Christ did through faith, justified, peace with God, access to the throne. But how did we get there? God said, I'm going to bring you there, and I'm going to start with suffering, endurance, character, and you're going to have hope. And I'm going to pour out that love through all those things that is going to permeate your whole body. I love you. Have a confidence. You can stand anything with that. You can stand up against anything with that. And that's what God's saying here. That's what God's saying here. So when we go through things and suffering, it's not, how do I get out of this? It's like, no, what can I learn from this? God, what are you teaching me? I know you love me beyond anything I can imagine. And Lord, just take me through this as I trust you. I rejoice that this came upon me because you're going to reveal yourself to me. That's what that's talking about. But it takes so long, God. It takes so long. It never ends. Because the endurance, you see, if you don't quit, you quit, you know. He has to go a long time to make sure you don't quit. And then you see you don't quit. Okay, God, it's going on in your hand. But I know you love me. My full confidence is in that. And then that builds character. Your experience with God, that he's taking true things, but he's got his arms around you, and he's teaching you. And he said, God, thank you for teaching me, building my character to trust you. Because that gives me hope. I believe you're going to do what you said you did. And ends in, we know this. We know all this. We know all this, verse 4, because he poured his love out in us through the Holy Spirit. Do you see that, folks? Amen? Do you see that? So powerful here. Now, and we have difference. The Apostle Paul, who wrote Romans, but when the full recognition of this, we declare, like the Apostle Paul, and he made this comment, the love of Christ controls us. Rejoice in suffering. The love of Christ controls us. Endure. The love of Christ controls us. Character. The love of Christ controls us. Hope. The love of Christ controls us. And that says that in 2 Corinthians 5:14. The love of Christ controls us. And then Paul also said this, who shall separate us from the love of God? See, we're like, oh, I love God, and we got to work God, and we got to keep going. The loving God will mess up. No. What it says in Romans 8:35 says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? He loves us and permeates everything in us that he loves us and he's working with us. See, it's not our issue how much we love God. It's the issue how much he loves us. And when we realize how much he loves us and it permeates our very being, then also it impacts our behavior. What impacts our behavior? Knowing that God loves us beyond anything we can comprehend, and the Holy Spirit is filling every cell in our body that God loves us. And then respond to that love. Amen? I mean, it's powerful here. Powerful here. Let me wrap this up. Process this through. It's so important. So important. Training day. We rejoice in the sufferings because the Holy Spirit is producing an overflowing consciousness in us, flooding all our senses that we are the object of God's love. Therefore, we hope as God's loved ones, we have a favorable and confident expectation in God. You do. Amen. Now I'm going to close, and I hope this verse means, you know it, everybody knows it by heart, but now I hope it just means more. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. He loves us. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. You're telling us so clearly what you're doing within our lives. And God, I pray that people receive this. And, you know, I mean, you thank you. I'll become a Christian and everything works out and everything's just perfect. And I ask anything that I want and it's going to happen. No, God has done everything for us. We have a home in heaven. Our sins are washed clean. But he's not done. He wants us to live out who we are. And he is personally going to move in and train us to behave the way he wants us to behave. We just have to have our eyes fixed on him and recognize what's happening around us. Oh, what a glorious, glorious thing to be loved by God, to be loved by God. And we are his light and his witnesses in this world. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you. I thank you. You're a good, good God. We give you all the glory. Lord, I pray you open these verses up to people as they could see it and just fall on their knees and say, oh, my God, God, you love me. In their worst pain and hurt and tribulation, they can just hold up their hand. God, you love me. You love me. You're pouring out your light. That you love me. You're doing a great work, something I can't even see. And I trust you. And I know I will not be put to shame. We give thanks to you, God, in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen, amen, amen.